Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
The Sun is leading with legend Dickie Rock, dead at 88. The family say the singer is now back with his beloved Judy. So why don't we stay with that for a minute now? And I'm joined now by three friends of Dickie: Louis Walsh, Brian D'Arcy, and Adele King, aka Twink. Good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
Louis, can I start with you just to put Dickie's career in context?
Everybody knew him.
There are lots of singers, but Dickie was a star, wasn't he?
He was a proper star. He was one of the three legends of show bands. You had Joe Dolan, you had Brendan Boyer, and you had Dickie. And everybody knew him as Dickie. And he was a fantastic entertainer, fantastic singer. He was a great guy. I used to meet him a lot in Ranelagh and in Rathmines, and we always had the chat. He loved his job. He absolutely loved it.
And he started out with the Miami, was it?
He started at the bottom and he worked his way up and he became a great entertainer that way. Yeah, he was with the Miami for years, then he went solo, but he's had an amazing long career. Amazing.
Yeah, because as much as he was an icon of the show band scene, he transcended that then over the years and just became part of the fabric of life for kind of other generations as well, didn't he?
He did. Everybody knew him. You just had to say his name, Dickie. Everybody knew him. He was a great crooner. He was a great rock and roller. And, you know, he loved the game. Anytime I met him, he'd be talking about other singers, slagging them off and having fun. He was very competitive, but he was absolutely great. I admired him greatly, Brendan. I admired him so much because he was a great singer.
Yeah, and but that extra thing then that makes someone a star as well.
Yeah, and, you know, in Ireland, everybody knew him. Yeah, everybody loved him. And he did the show band thing. He did the cabaret thing. He did Eurovision with Come Back to Stay. He had some great records. They're going to be played for a long, long time. The Candy Store, you know, Georgie Porgy. All those songs. They were great songs.
Brian D'Arcy, good morning to you.
Good morning, Brendan. And Louis, too. How are you?
Hello.
When did you first meet Dickie Rock, Brian?
I first met Dickie way back in, it's the 60s before it ordained anyway. There used to be a Christmas fundraising thing that the Evening Herald rang. It was called the Herald Boot Fund, which gives you an indication of the times that they're in. It was to buy shoes for the poor people. And there was the old Capitol Cinema now in O'Connell Street is not there anymore. It used to be the place where it was. And it was a great place to be in because all the bands gave their services free to it. And Dickie and the band were in Miami were just coming through as big stars at that time. And I remember being backstage and meeting him at that time. And he never changed. Dickie never changed. He was a professional, thin, always well-dressed, always wanting to be better than any other on the place. He told me one time that all he ever wanted to do was entertain. Actually, he began, and this is a link with history, he began his first public thing was in a talent show in the Theatre Royal when he was a boy, and he came third in it. And the winners were Tom and Pascal, the comedians from Cork. he laughed about that for a lot afterwards. That's where he started. And then he went into the bands like the Mellow Chords. And, of course, his famous, remember one time his big famous breakthrough for Dubliners anyway was he was with a group called the Viscounts. And they were in the National Stadium opening for Cliff Richard. And Joe Cal was comparing it, and Joe said to Dickie, "You go out there and, you know, don't worry about Cliff. You do your thing." And Dickie went out, and he was inspired that night. He was on a high, and he sang five songs, and he did the Jerry Lee Lewis. He jumped up on top of the piano, and he jumped down. And when Cliff came out, Cliff was only the minor star. Dickie had taken it by storm, and he lived on that for years.
So he was competitive, but listen, no fear of Cliff there. And Dickie, he had elements of a Cliff Richard to him. He had elements of a bit of an Elvis to him as well, didn't he? Did you become friends over the years, Brian?
We became friends. I was never as close as I was to Dickie as I was to, say, Brendan or Joe Dolan or all of the other fellas who were very, very close friends. Dickie kept to himself. Now, we always had great chats, always went for coffee, always had chats together. But I could never say, you know, that it was always talk about entertainment and about things like that. That's what Dickie always spoke about, because he was a professional and he was always wanting to explain and why he did things and how he did things. And he was, I was close to him, but not as close as I was to the other stars in the show band business. But then Dickie always wanted to keep himself aloof, slightly aloof from the other people in entertainment. He got involved in business and involved in golf, and he saw himself as just a little bit aloof. He was one of those entertainers that believed that you should be a little bit aloof. He did what he had to do as professional as he could, and then he had his own private life and with himself and Judy and all the kids, and that was, and of course he had his own tragedies too. A brother died and a son died, so he had a lot of things in life to cope with. And then finally, it was the saddest day you could imagine for Dickie, when two things happened to him. His hearing went, and he wasn't able to enjoy the only thing that he could ever do was music. And secondly, of course, his wife Judy died, and that was just, he just never recovered from that.
Yeah. Adele King, good morning.
Good morning, Bren, and my old pals, Louis and Brian.
And it's
good morning, Adele.
A sad day for you, Adele, I know. You were great friends, and Dickie was always very good to you, wasn't he?
Unspeakably nice to me, yeah. He was. He used to say himself he was a fan, and I would laugh, but he would openly, in any television show or interview he did, he was very praiseworthy, very supportive of me. And you must remember, Bren, it goes back to like when Dickie was with the Miami show. God, I was only a kid in Maxi, Dick and Twink, you know? The age difference then was very obvious. But as we grew up, as we got older, that disappeared and we became the best of friends. And I did a lot of corporate shows with him. And then myself and Dickie and the Red Hurley did a couple of weeks together show, and honest to the Lord God, I was like a mother between two boys. You know, Jesus, Red wants to sing, that's my song, Red. Well, if Dickie didn't, I said, oh, shut up, the two of you. Oh my God, what are you like?
And listen, Adele, interesting what Brian D'Arcy was saying there, that like Dickie was clearly like very competitive. He wanted to be the best all the time. Is that something you kind of have to be a star,
absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, he had that killer edge of I'm the best, I'm terrific, watch me, look at me when I come out on stage. And you know, listening to the two boys there talking about his career, the problem is, Brendan, and I don't want to be in any way disparaging, he had wonderful management here in Ireland, lovely man Tom Doherty. And
okay, careful now, Adele, stop. Let's not disparage anyone.
I'm just saying that it's a shame that Dickie came up in a time where sort of international management wasn't really there in Ireland, because he had the potential to go out around the world. And the system, I'm saying, Brendan, wasn't in place at that time for somebody of Dickie's talent.
No,
you know,
I hear you. Yeah,
I heard the lad saying he was supporting Cliff Richard. But my God, you could probably say Dickie could probably have sung Cliff off the stage in terms of what his vocals when he was at his best. But it's sad for me to hear of him as somebody of Dickie's talent supporting artists. Yeah. You know, I always felt Dickie had the potential with the right, if we'd had the timing of the right management, Dickie would have made it internationally, you know, because he had that desire.
Yeah, I think Dickie did used to say that he had opportunities to go abroad at times, but that...
And he didn't.
Wanted to stay here, and that the family and Judy were more important.
He was very family orientated, Brendan, as you know. I mean, what I wanted to say was that my great loss is that I was not benefited, not only being a great friend of Dickie's, but over the last, oh goodness, I'd say 20 odd years, I've been a great friend of the families, because the boys are great friends with my daughters. So it's lovely that the legacy lives on, if you know what I mean, that the kids are friends now with my kids, you know.
Yeah.
And I feel sorry for those boys and Sarah Jane, because they've been just incredibly supportive of Dickie in the last few years when he has not been well, Brendan. And I think when Judy died, I just saw a huge part of Dickie that died.
Yeah,
you know, when
yeah.
Judy died, but he absolutely idolized her, and they were the love affair of all time. And I just saw a huge change. And it wasn't long after Judy died that the Alzheimer's set in. And, you know, I think he just, I hate to say that old thing, he was so in love and she was so part of his life. I think a huge part of him just sort of gave up.
Yeah.
But look, Judy died, I really do.
But look, yeah, and I think as far as we know, he's died peacefully with his family around
yes,
him. So,
yes.
So a
I'm
good
still
death
broken
after,
hearted.
After a terrific life. And Louis, just to go back to you on the career thing, and to say, oh, well, you know, he could have done this and he could have done that and he could have done everything else. Dickie had a fantastic career and probably was happy with his fantastic career, was he?
Yeah, he was a big fish here. He was the number one pop star in Dublin, absolutely. And he had great ambition. That's what I loved about him. And, you know, he was 88. He had a great, great career.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Brian, how will he be remembered?
If he had Louis managing him, if he'd had Louis as Louis is now, he would have been as big as Elvis. He really would have, Louis had been looking after him.
I loved him. I loved his ambition, and I loved the way he'd be slagging everybody else off having fun.
Yeah.
He was great. But he was a great crooner. He was like Tony Bennett.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm actually going to play a bit of Dickie in a while, and the song I'm going to play, you'll just see. I'm going to play him doing The Wonder of You, Louis, because like he out Elvis's Elvis in it, doesn't he?
I heard you singing that once.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's not the day for that. And I certainly didn't know Elvis the way Dickie did. Listen, Louis Walsh, Brian D'Arcy and Adele King, thank you all so very much for those warm memories of Dickie Rock, and our condolences today, of course, to all Dickie's friends and family.